amazing stuff. Oh my God, I can't believe you touched on hunger, because my topic is actually about the Beatitudes today. And that's crazy, because wow, that was one of it in practice, right? In practice. My topic that I named today is shifting perspective. And so the idea that I want to talk about today is, can you make the music a little bit quieter? Чуть-чуть ниже, да, спасибо. The idea that I want to talk about today is really about, you know, Matthew chapter 5, just about Jesus' layout of instruction for the people of that day. But when he gave that instruction and all the Beatitudes, it's classic. It's literally for all the generations to come. And we're here right now. That instruction is exactly for us as well. So shifting perspective, why I named it like that is because as a Christian, our perspective and our focus should be on the inside of us, meaning that like on the inside of our heart, right? That's where everything comes from. And for Christians, it's not like that. I know we have a lot of mature people in here. We have a lot of powerhouses here. So I'm going to be speaking to people that need to hear this. A lot of people are so focused on the exterior and what it looks like that they forget to really honor God by being sensitive to what their heart looks like. Because that's what God is after. When he looks at you, he doesn't see the cars you drive. He doesn't see the clothes you wear. He looks straight into your heart and what's in your heart. The motives that are behind the scenes for you to do what you do. And so for us, I feel like in the season of building kingdom, building the foundation, like really, I genuinely feel like this, that for this service, we're building a foundation right now. We're going to be building the walls later. We're going to be building everything else, all the other departments that are going to come with this. But this is huge to understand the Beatitudes that God gave us, because He flipped the whole game when Jesus came and when he opened up. Let's read. Let's just dive into it so we all have some context what I'm talking about. Matthew 5, chapter 5. It's going to be from verse 3 to 10. I'm going to be reading NLT version translation. Verse 3. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose heart are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the sons of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. This is insane. When Jesus, after his temptation in chapter 4, in Matthew chapter 4, after his temptation, he turns around and the first words that come out of his mouth is to the crowds, to the people, his message is, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. What he's saying here is, turn away from the reality of this world, turn away from the culture of this world and follow me, because his reality and his culture is completely different. What that means is, again, exterior and interior. This is why I called my topic shifting perspective, is because for us Christians, we have to be sensitive to what's happening on the inside with our lives and our hearts, instead of focusing on what's the exterior, because exterior is only the result and the fruit of everything. When we are born again, Holy Spirit enables us to fully and joyfully enter into his kingdom reality. I love this. I remember my moments when I was born again. It's like a new heart was given to me. Everything had a different color. A new page was given to me in my life. Literally, like, God just activated me from the inside. Where before I was an exterior person, right? Like, I was an extrovert. I was an extrovert. I derived my power from being around people, being like just out there partying and just all of that. As soon as Holy Spirit enabled my heart and activated me, I became an introvert. I started loving my private time. I started loving just being in the closed doors with God, just spending time with Him hours upon hours, where it took me into a huge isolation and a season to be completely with Him and just kind of far away from people. And that's so beautiful, because how many of you guys know Kingdom of Heaven lives inside of hearts of believers? When we always talk about bringing the Kingdom of Heaven on this earth, that means God first is going to build His kingdom in your heart, and then He's going to start establishing that kingdom all around you. It is so simple, but it is so beautiful, because that's what it looks like. Kingdom of Heaven is in every single person that believes. To me, this makes so much more sense. It is so simple when Jesus takes the focus and flips the whole game. Like Old Testament, right? All the rules. Do not kill. Do not do this. Do not that. Jesus says, what? He takes the standards of a Christian and his sons and daughters to the next level. Now He's saying, what's in your heart? Shall not commit adultery. He's like, if you carry anger in your heart, you are already like, bam, you're already like, you're in trouble. Because out of your hunger overflows that. Over, if you have anger in your heart, overflows murder, right? Overflows everything else that physically happens. The 8 Beatitudes that Jesus gave is this, it literally describes the condition and the attitude of a citizen of Kingdom of Heaven. This is so good, because Jesus comes here and He lays it out so clearly. Like, He wants the intimacy for when Jesus lays out these 8 Beatitudes, right? He pretty much, what He's doing is He's laying the foundation. He's laying the foundation and the core. For Jesus, this was the core of His whole message. Is the heart condition, is your attitude as a person. He didn't care about like all the traditional rules or whatever that was of that day, right? He still does it. He looks at the heart. He looks straight at the heart. So for Jesus, it's the character quality that really matter. And so I love that. I love that. Tommy hit on one of those. Humility, hunger. Hunger, like a lot of these, Holy Spirit, from the past few months actually, He's been really, for whatever reason, highlighting these to me and really walking me through all of these. Like, it's a next level when you, by choice, in prayer and worship, just go hungry after God. It's like, I don't care about anything. You really, like, talking about the violent, taking Kingdom of Heaven with violence, right? That's what it looks like. You don't care about anything else. You don't do it for ritual. You don't do it for because you want something. You do it because you love your King. You do it because your heart is pure and you want the substance from heaven and what Jesus carries on the inside of you. So the 8 Beatitudes that Jesus drew a picture of, that's for mature sons and daughters. That's really what it looks like for His sons and daughters to be on the inside. Pure of heart shall see God. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. The merciful will obtain mercy. The peacemaker will be called the sons of God. Those who mourn will be comforted. The meek will inherit the earth. Persecuted for doing right, the justice will inherit heaven. I love that all of these, they state your need for God. Like literally, they state how much we should be dependent on Him, how much we should be trusting Him, how much we should be doing our whole entire life with him by our side, like holding on to his hand and walking this life journey with him. That's exactly what he's doing. Like the veil, he has paid the price. This is before he even went to the cross. He already started laying out the whole foundation of what a mature and Christian, but I don't think they called them Christians back in the day, but what a mature son and daughter of Kingdom of Heaven looks like. When I was, the more I was, I kept on rereading this, and when I started asking Holy Spirit about this, a lot of this is ingrained in my heart. And I love this because what that means is that God wants us to build. He wants each and every one of us to take all of those 8 Beatitudes and take them deep into our heart, reread them, meditate, practice them, pray about them, whatever it looks like, and ingrain all of that into our identities and self-image. Because when you build your core as a Christian, as a human, on these key principles and these, like this foundation right here, who you are, out of what everything overflows, we always talk about, you know, loving God and loving your neighbor. Well, this is the next step right here. This is the core. This is like whatever you do in life, this should be your heart motive, the purity of your heart. So when I talk about Jesus flipping the Old Testament and taking the standard to the next level, he literally took the value system that was there in the Old Testament and he made it completely different. Where now he's looking not into do not murder, right? But he's looking at the heart that, like, don't carry any anger in you. I love people that are pure. They always look at the root of their heart, right? They're very sensitive and they're very analytical what God is doing with them in every situation. Like there is always a purpose and a reason why we experience things that we experience week in, week out. The reason why God sends us people the way he sends is because he wants to teach us things. And so when we are sensitive to that, we build his kingdom on the inside of our heart. We let him into more and more of our landscape, of our soul and our heart. So before, Jesus says, love your neighbor. Now he's saying, love and pray for your enemies. Wow, that's intense. If you guys ever tried this, this is hard. This is not easy. Loving person, as Jesus says, loving person who loves you, it's easy. Loving somebody that is persecuting, that is hating on you, that doesn't agree with you, but you're still praying for him and loving on them and doing, like, from the pure heart. This is what God wants with us. And I believe why Holy Spirit is highlighting these basic, simple truths to me to talk about and putting this on my heart, because I really believe that God is moving his church in us to the next level in being sincere, in being pure inside out. That's what it looks like. It's not just you knowing everything in your head. It's you genuinely being a true, real person and being a vessel of God, being able to flow when he commands you to do things and being able to release Kingdom of Heaven in a moment. This is my second point. So Jesus says, turn around from the reality, the first step. Jesus says, turn around from the reality of this world. Repent, he calls it. Everything that the culture says and offers in the world that we live in, God says, turn around, learn my culture, my reality, live by that. And that goes back to your heart. Things that nobody sees. Nobody sees your motives. Nobody sees why you do what you do and how you live your life out. Then second step, he gives these core principles for us to live and operate out of, right? Condition of our heart. He explains how our heart should look like. If we want to do an alignment or a balance of our life or our hearts, or, you know, trying to kind of find clarity, where are we going? This is where you go back to Matthew 5 and you go back to the Beatitudes and see what's in your heart, like do an alignment on your life and on yourself. So this is the second thing that God does. Then right after that, in Matthew 5:13, after he lays out all of these Beatitudes, he says, you are the salt of the earth. Later, next verse, he talks about you are the light of the world. What that means is that He's saying you are a new creation. You have a right on the inside. Now reflect and shine to the people around you, to your society. He's saying reflect. Like the light, as in this verse talks about, the light, you don't hide the light. You put it on the stand. If anybody ever put a light on the floor when you are working in a dark room, you barely have any room, like light. As soon as you put it up high, the whole room just lights up. I'm in construction, so I know that. Come on, he picked that up. Like if you really want to light up that room, you put it somewhere high. A small little light, it will bright up so much property. This is what God is talking about. He's saying, I live inside of you. Like these core principles, the purity, the humility, the everything that we just went through, right? All eight of them. He's saying, shine all of that. Because that will transform people around you. That will transform, that will manifest kingdom of heaven. This is probably one of my main things that I want to state with this. When we shift our perspective from exterior, but on the interior, when we become sensitive to Holy Spirit, then we start truly manifesting the kingdom of heaven in the smallest little details to the biggest one. It's so, so simple, so good. Bringing the invisible realm to the visible. And all of that is done by faith. By faith, we are sons of God. By faith, we walk out in obedience to God. And by faith, we manifest what He's doing in a moment. It takes courage. In some moments, I'll have to admit, it takes courage. But the more you yield your heart to God, the more easier it becomes, because then you start losing more and more of yourself. And your life and your opinions and your desires kind of start fading away, and He starts occupying and He starts moving and flowing through you. It's so good. The beatitude in Latin, it means blessedness, which implies happiness, well-being, and divine joy. I took a trip to Canada this week. I had an amazing time. Beautiful mountains, beautiful time. And so I went with a couple of my buddies, and we had a conversation. One of my buddies, he lives on the other side of U.S. And so he just got a new, but he has a mentor in his life right now that kind of collect this guy. He was unsatisfied in his life. He's a Christian. He was unsatisfied in his life. And he's like, how can I give more to society, more to people? Because this guy, he's a millionaire, so he has everything he needs, everything he wants. He's pretty much, he has it all made, right? But he's like, how can I give more to people, and how can I bless somebody or take somebody else to next level? So he created, like, he literally just posted on Instagram or whatever this invitation, and different people started like hitting him up, right? They're like, we want to get mentored by you, we want to, you know, stay connected, create a group. So anyways, this guy creates a group of, I believe, 10 or so people, and these people are from different walks of life. We're talking about most of these guys, they're, you know, millennials, my age, a little bit older. A lot of them are millionaires. A lot of them, they have a maid. They have everything they need. And so one of the stories we were talking about, how this guy started pursuing money and career and, you know, taking the new heights in life or whatever. For men, we can kind of relate to that. We're always driven in you know, in provision and providing and just in business and money. And so it's kind of crazy when he went after this and started pursuing that. Yes, he became a millionaire, became very successful and rich, but he lost the family. He had, I forgot how many kids he had, but he had a wife and a couple of kids, I believe. And so after he kind of hit his rock bottom, looping back around, he's on his second family, has, I believe, four kids with another woman and another family that he established. And he doesn't need money. He has everything that he needs and wants. He has access to anything. Everything is pretty much made for him. But he's hungry for something deeper. And so when we were kind of talking and about when me and my buddy were talking about this stuff, you know, and it's so funny because they created this group and these people are in different areas and like a walk in life and do different things and stuff. But yet their heart's desire all crave something. A little bit different, but they crave something. And it goes back to happiness, well-being. When they really start all talking, they all go back to they just want to be happy. It's so crazy that a human heart goes back to these small little standards. And you can achieve all of these kind of things, you know. And depending on which direction you go in life, you can, like in this case, in this picture, this guy literally lost himself. He lost his family, hitting rock bottom like that. And he's saying that if he was to do it all again, he would have been there for the first family because all of it is really the same. But he was just so lost in his heart that he didn't understand what was happening, that he was truly pursuing happiness and stillness. So now he got his priorities straight, but now he just needs mentoring for somebody to be there for him and to stay accountable and to keep him focused in the right direction. Let's put it like that. Happiness and joy. So reading and focusing on 8 Beatitudes, God is telling us kingdom of heaven now is your heart, is maintaining your heart, is building your heart, is being obedient to God, is truly letting him prune you, being connected to him as a vine, right? Completely being dependent on him in everything that you do and who you are. But also when he gives us these Beatitudes and when our heart is in the right place and it's maintained, God wants to release so much more blessing because these 8 Beatitudes, they don't come with only, you know, you being super spiritual or whatever. These 8 Beatitudes, they come with exterior blessing as well. When God says, to those who are humble, they will inherit the whole earth. That is so crazy because for God, that's real. He really means that when he says that. What that means to us is that everything that we have, everything that comes in our lives, all of the blessing, all of the goodness, physical, material stuff, we don't get attached to it. It's like the perspective on what God is saying over here. He's like, trust me. Like Paul said, I lived and experienced different seasons. In some seasons he was poor, in some seasons he was rich. God was still his number one. No matter what, his heart was in the right place and his focus was in the right, like right place is it was at him. He was focused on Jesus. All of this he offers with the Beatitudes. How many of you guys ever played the video game Driver? Driver, I believe, Need for Speed. And there is cheat codes. Cheat codes, when you type in cheat codes, you have like access to all kinds of crazy stuff. You can take what you want and all of that. Anybody? Okay, never mind. I guess for you it's like, yeah? Yeah, okay. So when I was like really thinking about this, it's like when it comes to the Beatitudes, God gave us these cheat codes. There are 8 simple little Beatitudes and a blessing that he wants us to step into. Because they are not only for eternity, they are also a huge blessing for here, like on earth, for us to be successful, for us to be healthy, be happy, and have everything we need, and a lot more. Story of Cain and Abel, Genesis 4:7. You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master. So if you guys know the story of Cain and Abel, this is literally Adam's and Eve's kids. So this is the beginning of our history, right? As a human beings, this is the beginning. God, from the beginning, he wanted us to do this right. He wanted us to rely on him, to trust him, to walk in the cool of the garden. And he, like, it was crazy when I started, like, kind of just searching this out and connecting all of the dots. God was always warning humanity what it looks like. Don't fall for the temptations of the evil one, right? Because his reality and his game is just going to take you on completely different road trips that are not necessary, that where you will lose so much time. And I love how it says here, subdue it, subdue the sin, and master it. So what God is saying over here, this is in the beginning. He's instructing us, even like in the Old Testament. He's saying that you have full control over your life, literally over every circumstance, over every sin. It doesn't matter what it looks like. You have full control over it. And it is so beautiful because now the price is paid. Jesus is paid. All we have to do is come in by faith, accept it, and run in purity. Take everything that He has conquered for us and just live it. It is good. When God looked in this story, when God looked at the heart of Abel, I love that Abel gave his best. So he was tending the sheep. He was tending the flock. He picked out the most precious lamb, the most purest lamb, the most healthiest one, youngest one, and he sacrificed to God. Where his brother Cain, he looked at him, he's like, psh, what is wrong with you, dude? But in this situation, God looks straight into the heart. And his heart was literally to give God the best because he blessed him, because I think his heart was pure. It is very, very interesting. I never went even deeper on this. Abel and Cain, how many of you guys know this story? Two different results, right? Two different outcomes. Abel brings the offering, God's accept. Cain brings the offering, God's rejects the offering. And it takes Cain on a whole spin, right? It takes him on a whole spin. He starts having anger in his heart. This is what God is talking about. Always be sensitive to what's happening with your heart. From day in, like to day out, on a weekly basis, whatever situations you're in, see and be sensitive to these doors. Cain opened up the door to his heart to have anger. He let in anger into his heart to hate his brother because he was jealous, out of jealousy. That God accepted his offering and his he didn't because he brought, I don't think he brought from a pure heart. Let's just say he just kind of wanted to do it as a ritual thing, right? And so God, what we read over here in Genesis 4:7, God comes to Cain and he warns him. He already sees what is happening in his heart and he already warns him. He's like, get rid of the anger that's in your heart. Get rid of the rejection that's in your heart. He doesn't obey him and he ends up, the result of it ends up killing his brother. And then the whole consequence starts happening, right? But this is the crazy part. Cain was rejected from God's presence. This was the consequence of his sin or his screw up or whatever. He becomes, and this is what the Bible says, a homeless wanderer. To me, when I started thinking about this, I'm like, oh my God, it is so real and it is so true. Without God's presence, we are truly homeless. Can you guys like really think about this idea? Like our souls are always going to be in some crazy desert and some emptiness, lost, confused, like whatever that looks like. And then God's presence comes in and he comes into your life. You literally discover this crazy meaning about life, what life really means with like him inside of you. You start looking at life differently. As I was saying, when I got born again, colors changed. Everything started changing. I actually, where before I didn't have any hope for my life and for my future, now I started stepping out in faith and just having so much hope, life, freedom on the inside of me. I wanted, like I started getting desires to want to live again. God's presence does that. He brings true belonging, feeling of safety. And I think this is the most craziest one is, again, our souls, because he is in our lives. He is in our daily lives. We're not homeless. We belong to him as kids. We live in a such a, I can't pronounce this word, materialistic. That's the one? Materialistic, yes. That's a hard one for me. Culture, that it influences us subconsciously all the time for our focus to be on the exterior. Like the whole social scrolling thing, it's everything is exterior. You really don't know what it looks like behind the scenes, right? But we see pictures and we believe it, that that is real. It's not. It's so rooted deep in us. But again, God has taken us to the next level. This is what I really believe. Being sincere, pure, and just yourself. Because money, when I work with secular people, I work with like liberal perspective, right? People that are, they are godless. Let's put it like that. They are godless people. When I start talking about God to them, they just reject them. But when I really start analyzing what their values are and what they put, where their safety is and what they depend on, this is crazy. And Bible talks about this. They depend on money. They depend on money for their safety, for their protection, for the future. Because they have it, they think they have it all. Then God becomes a funny idea to them, right? That it's a lie and an illusion. But without God, we are truly bankrupt. How many of you guys know? As I was saying, like literally, it's bankruptcy, it's homelessness. And so when we talk about beatitudes, God wants us to be completely cling to Him, like desire Him, trust Him, depend on Him. Throughout all kinds of different seasons in my life, I go back to the same thing again and again and again. Where, you know, before when I started my walk with God, I was a failure, like a huge failure. It was a struggle for me all around. Now, exiting out of that place and actually like starting to see success and blessing on my life, I never knew that success is actually going to be a little bit more challenging and harder than failure is. It's easier to fail. It's a little bit different, harder to be successful. What that means is that no matter, again, what place, what I mean by that, no matter what place you are in, God should be your number one. Trusting Him and depending. Either you have money or you don't have money. Doesn't matter the status, the title. It doesn't matter what the journey of life you're going to be on and what is going to come your way, what you're going to step in. He always wants to be by your side. In Proverbs 23:5, it says that money can disappear in the blink of an eye. That is crazy. And so thinking about, you know, culture and people that depend on exterior thing, materialistic thing or whatever, they put and they stand on things that is pretty much of the wind. It's not real. When we talk about beatitudes, God is saying, put your trust in Him because eternity is safe. Your future on this earth is safe. No matter what happens, He will always be with you. No matter what happens, you will always be strong. Your house is built on the right foundation. Proverbs 23:19. Solomon says, listen, my child, and be wise. Keep your heart on the right course. God keeps on saying again and again to me, and I feel like to the house and things that are just happening in society, in the world, in church right now. It's our responsibility to always direct our life, to direct our life in the right place. He's the end goal, and He's the one that wants to be in the process with you and everything that you do. I really feel like for some people right now, when it comes to faith, you guys have to understand that Matthew 11:12, it talks about Kingdom of Heaven suffers violence, and the violent taken by force. What that means is that faith in different seasons, in different places, will look violent, determined, passionate, forceful, aggressive. It's not going to look passive. You're not just going to sit there and do nothing. Whatever God puts on your heart in a moment, that's what you have to follow and obey and just be. Sometimes it will look like standing up for your principles. Because that's what your heart believes and that's where you are. Sometimes it's going to have to be passionate. Jesus was passionate and he had a lot of compassion, and it brought so much healing and deliverance in the moment. For us, it's no different because he lives in us right now. Persistence, steadfastness, never giving up. Whatever God is teaching you in the moment, you just keep on going. The spirit of overcomer is on us. Kingdom of heaven invades earth. Sometimes it might look like a struggle, but after you overcome, it's all loose. But I'm going to be wrapping up. Holy Spirit, I really felt when I was prepping this and kind of wrapping this up, I feel like when it comes to Holy Spirit, he's standing and knocking on some of your heart, to step out and pursue him and be obedient to him, because he wants to take you to the next level. If you got the 8 Beatitudes, like if your heart is pure, if you walk in humility, if you got all of that, you understand what hunger looks like, what righteousness looks like, awesome. Now God is saying, be that light to your place where you are in. Shine. Don't be afraid to step out and share the gospel. Don't be afraid to prophesy into people's lives and see what God is going to do through you as a vessel. Because I feel like when God does things for us, it's nice. But when God does things through us to somebody else, that's amazing. When you see how big your God is, how much not only does he love you, but how much he loves people around you. And he wants to manifest himself through each and every one of us. The poor in spirit, those who hunger and thirst for the reality of God and his presence, will step into it and manifest that kingdom. Crazy principles. I just kind of want to recite Matthew 5:3, and I'm going to pray for us. Take this. Ask Holy Spirit to highlight things in your heart. If you need to revise things or shift things or really prioritize moments of your life, because this is stated for your entire life. This is not for a Sunday church, right? Your church culture family. This is for like outside and every single family that you have. Work family, home family, for everything that we are, Monday through Friday, this is for everything. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. What that means is that you run to the Father every single time you need him, in good and in bad seasons. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the earth. I noticed this. God will always pour out resources with no limitation when you walk in humility. When you understand that his blessing is his blessing. You're just a manager and you're just cultivating it. God blesses those who are hungry and thirsty for justice, for they will be satisfied. When you see injustice around you, God says here, don't be quiet. Stand the ground, like stand up for people that get bullied. Stand up for things that are wrong. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. This is huge. You never know what's on the other side of a human heart or life. Sometimes people going through tough stuff. When we don't show people mercy and grace, it's not a good thing. And I feel like for our youth, this is like a mark that we have. Those who are pure in heart will see God. And I feel like our youth have been ingrained this so much. That's why we're seeing our youth on fire today. It's so good because they're walking in it. They're pure of heart and they see God in everything that they do. And it's the most amazing thing for me to see as a youth pastor. God blesses those who work peace, for they will be called sons, children of God. Oh my God. Jesus, thank you so much for peace. Thank you so much for courage. I know that he's releasing through these small, simple little words, he's releasing courage in our hearts that we as a body, we're going to see injustices around us in our culture, in our work environment, and in our school. We're not going to be afraid to stand up for it and fight, because that's what it looks like to be a light, to stand on truth. Because number 10, look at this. Number 10, this is what it says. This comes with all the other stuff that I mentioned. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. It's okay that you're persecuted. It's part of the ground of being a son of God. Like our pastor, Andre, he's been a perfect example of what that looks like, of what it looks like to be blacklisted from our even Russian religious society and community. And it's a blessing and an honor to be part of this family because there's God on it. He never compromised over all of these years. He never compromised his principles. He never compromised the truth that he stands on and he speaks after all of these years. It is an honor to partner with this and run with this and pass it down to next generation and build this, because that's what life is all about. It's not about exterior, how many millions you gain or how much cars you get or whatever. It's about you walking with God. It's about your heart being pure. It's about you walking and stepping into kingdom identity, what God has prepared for you. No better thing when you know who you are and like you know where you're going. Let's stand up and let's pray. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you're building this place, this society here, this culture here, every son and daughter, that you are building every generation, because when your word speaks, your word is always anointed. And every generation always gets something from it. I just ask that you build this place from foundation up, brick by brick. Let our hearts be pure. Let our hearts be yielded to you. Let our hearts be full of courage, no compromise. Let our hearts be completely yielded to you, Holy Spirit. I crave this more and more because I know sometimes how much is a challenge to manifest your kingdom. It's an honor to have you as my God. It's an honor to have you as my King. And it is an honor to see what you do in this house and in this culture and every person here. Because I know it's just the beginning. Holy Spirit, I know as a body of Christ right now, we are in the right place at the right time. I just ask if some of these words spoken to your son's heart, I ask that you help them and you support them, that you lead them and you guide them, for them to truly be poor of spirit. Realize their need for you, how much they need you in every area of their life. No matter how full or blessed they are, that they will always make room. They will always throw out of their hearts and their focus that everything that doesn't really carry any value. That they always put you as number one and fill their hearts with you. Because you are the one that matters. You are the one that brings satisfaction beyond this lifetime. I love you, I honor you, and I bless every person that is here. Thank you so much, Jesus, for making the way and letting your word now be possible for us to implement, be part of us, and also shine the light and spread your gospel and the good news to people that don't know you. In Jesus' name, amen.